Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. The Trump campaign says it plans to pursue more legal challenges to election counts in a few states. But options to change the results are limited. NPR's Pam Fessler reports.
Trump's campaign has active lawsuits in Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Arizona, but none involve large numbers of votes. Most of the campaign's legal challenges so far have been dismissed due to a lack of evidence of voting irregularities. The president has continued to tweet unfounded claims of fraud, and several Republicans, such as Missouri Senator Roy Blunt, expressed doubt that enough, if any, will be found to change the results. Still, they say the president has a right to pursue his claims, and the legal process should be allowed to play out. Pam Fessler, NPR News.
Many supporters of President Trump agree he should keep fighting the results. Here are some at a rally in Nevada Sunday.
Stop the steal! Stop the steal!
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, a Republican, says it's important to look into the possibility of fraud.
I don't know how widespread it is. I don't know if it'll change the outcome of the election. But why is everybody so scared just to have a fair election and find out?
Noem was interviewed on ABC's This Week. Villagers in southern India, where Vice President-elect Kamala Harris's maternal grandfather was born, are overjoyed after her win. Susmita Pathak reports Harris is the first person of South Asian descent to be elected vice president.
Residents of Tulasi Indrapuram in the southern Indian state of Tamil Nadu set off firecrackers to celebrate Harris's victory. They distributed sweets and gathered at the local Hindu temple, where they had prayed ahead of the election to wish Harris luck. Now they're hoping she will visit their village. Harris's mom was Indian and her father was from Jamaica.
Susmita Pathak reporting. The National Hurricane Center says Tropical Storm Eta made landfall in southern Florida with winds as strong as 65 miles per hour. The storm has already caused extensive damage in southern Mexico and in Central America. Dozens of people have died. NPR's Carrie Kahn has more.
The amount of water Eta dumped in the region was immense, sending dozens of rivers from southern Mexico to Panama over their banks, washing out roads and bridges, flooding homes, and causing massive landslides. In the southern Mexican state of Chiapas, at least 20 people died from Eta's heavy rains. Most of the dead were swept away in torrential currents. In one Guatemalan village, at least 150 people died in a massive slide when a mountainside gave way in the central department of San Cristobal Verapaz. Around Honduras's second largest city, San Pedro Sula, the damage has been extensive. Three major rivers overflowed, flooding the region. Officials say thousands had to be evacuated by boats and helicopters, some provided by the U.S. from a nearby military base. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, Mexico City.
This is NPR. Riot police in Thailand used water cannons Sunday against pro-democracy demonstrators in Bangkok who are trying to reach the Grand Palace to deliver letters about their grievances to the king. The protests began in July. They want the prime minister to step down, the monarchy to be reformed, and the constitution changed to allow more democracy. Iran's leading human rights lawyer Nasrin Sotoudeh was released from prison temporarily following warnings about her health after she went on a hunger strike. NPR's Deborah Amos reports.
Sotoudeh launched her hunger strike in August as COVID ravaged Iran's prison population. Iran had released tens of thousands, but not high-profile political prisoners. Weakened by her prolonged fast, she was transferred to a hospital for tests, which showed some heart damage. But she was returned to prison without proper care, according to her husband, Reza Khamdan. Her furlough from prison was announced by Iran's judiciary on Saturday. Sotoudeh was jailed 2 years ago, charged with spying and propaganda. At the time, she was defending women who challenged Iran's mandatory headscarf law by removing their head coverings and waving it on a stick. Deborah Amos, NPR News.
Alex Trebek died Sunday. He had hosted the quiz show Jeopardy since 1984, where contestants were told the questions and provided the answers on a variety of subjects, such as movies, politics, and popular culture. Trebek announced last year he had pancreatic cancer. Alex Trebek was 80 years old. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.